Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios today is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
And John Ramos. We are excited about joining you in just a few. We'll be right back. Can you believe they told the kindergartners they could not sing God Bless America? We got so much to talk to you about today. We'll give a shout out this morning to Emma. Good morning, Emma. We'll give a shout also to Christian. Good morning, Christian. We'll say hello this morning to Stacy. Our prayers are with you and your family down in Lakeland. And to our followers from Mexico, Venezuela, Philippines, Egypt, India, Turkey. Hello, good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning, Chicago! Welcome again to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
And John Ramos.
Good morning. Good morning.
Oh, my goodness. Things are happening. Oh, the world is just, it's just crying out for the return of our Lord and Savior. It's amazing. Even the rocks are crying out. Well, how you doing this morning, John?
Amen. Listen, I'm doing great. I'm happy to be here this morning with our radio listeners, and I'm enjoying a wonderful, wonderful time this morning.
Oh, I love being together. It's amazing, you know. I mean, for years, we got a chance to be able to have these wonderful conversations, and now we're just kind of like the whole world's listening. I don't know if you know this morning, but you know, I got a report in from our social media that we have followers that are coming in, almost 1,000 from Mexico, Venezuela, Philippines, Egypt, India, Turkey, and the United States, Chicago, New Mexico, of course, New York City. Hello, give a shout out there to those in New York City. Good morning, Joanne. How are you doing this morning, Crystal? Oh, my goodness, the Bronx. Hello, Bronx. I also want to give a shout out to Brooklyn.
That's right. Hey, Nicole. Now she's on the east side of Manhattan.
I love, you know, Nicole just so, you know, encouraged me. I love her, how she shares about her experience and how she just sees the kingdom of God advancing, you know, even in Central Park, you know, it's just beautiful, isn't it?
Yes. Wonderful. Wonderful. You know, we had a great time at the Vine Seminar, and that's her testimony. She says, you know what? I can see the vine spreading everywhere. She says, in Harlem, she says, in Central Park, everywhere. And so it was awesome impact.
Oh, I just want, next time I'm in New York, I want to go to the Apollo Theater, you know, and see, you know, I've seen it, but I hadn't a chance to be there, you know, the Apollo Theater. It'd be pretty cool.
Come on, let's go. We'll take you all the way there.
You know, but when I was stationed there, that wasn't necessarily the place to go. New York has totally just changed. And of course, that was the original, you know, happening area of New York, and it just kind of migrated up to the 100 blocks and all those different things, 33rd Street and all that wonderful stuff.
That's right. They got penthouses now in Harlem. Harlem is different.
Oh. Hey, you remember that burger we had right there on Broadway?
Oh, yes. Yes, in Times Square at, what was it? Is it Roxy's?
Yes, Roxy's.
Best burger I've ever had.
It was like half the cow, I think.
Oh my goodness. We almost didn't even walk in. Down in Times Square, you see all these beautiful, you know, places and lights. You're like, we're just starving. Let's just eat there. And it wanted to be in the best place.
It was so funny to watch people sitting, you know, cause I mean, I have this paradigm shift because when I was there, you know, ages ago, when I was first time there was in the Navy. And, as a matter of fact, when I first got to, I'm a country boy. You know, you probably can't tell by my accent. And I'm driving. I got stationed in Brooklyn because my boat was in Brooklyn Shipyard. You know, I didn't know even where Brooklyn was in New York. And so I just kind of got on 95 and headed that way. And, you know, a young, venturous sailor headed towards the big city. And I stopped in, it was probably Jersey. And there's a police officer with his hood up. And, and of course, I'm speaking about the hood on the car, not the hoodie. Anyway, so then he said, I said, sir, can you tell me how to get to Brooklyn? And you know what he's like, sure, I'll help you out. No, he didn't say that. That's what he said. Son, do I look like an information booth to you?
He actually called you son.
yeah, I was young then. I was young once, John.
Were you?
I was. I really was. And so then, oh, I don't know if he called me son. That's not a, that's right, northern term. I think it was another adjective.
What's the problem, man? Yeah,
that's exactly it, you know. And so anyway, so I'm looking for, you know, Brooklyn Shipyard because I'm thinking the Navy, you know, you go to the, because I'm coming from the Norfolk type areas and Little Creek and the whole place is just filled with these big ships and just, you know, Navy. And so we'll give a big shout out to all of our Navy listeners. Bryce, woo, what's up, dude? We're excited about what's happening, how God's blessing you in the Navy. Which you can sell the seven seas, by the way, in the Navy. That's a song. Anyway, so then, and so I'm fighting my way through, I guess I'm going over at that time, the Brooklyn Bridge or whatever. I didn't know at that time. I was just totally, all I remember was I got to this real spooky area, you know what I'm saying? I'm like driving like at that time, some movie that says, you could almost hear the Jaws music in the background. Dun, 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 dun. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh my goodness, I've got to get out of here and go find the Brooklyn Shipyard. And so I finally, you know, I pull up past this one car that has its trunk open with some brand new jeans hanging out the side over the bumper. They were selling nice jeans out the back of a car. Wasn't that amazing?
Jeans, shoes, pots, pans, whatever you need.
They think they've seen something in other parts of the country. You can get anything you want out of a trunk in New York. Anyway, and so this was BC. And so I pull past this supermarket. Okay, it was a Chevrolet with jeans hanging out the back. And I see the security guards, like a little small 2x2 booth with this, I don't know, you know, I guess it was like Nyko or Wackenhut or something like that. And I said, hey, I'm trying to find the Navy shipyard in Brooklyn. Do you know where it is? And he goes, you're here.
Welcome to the Navy.
Oh my goodness. I was right in the middle of it. And here I thought, you know, Jaws is going to pop out. And I was like, my goodness, I'm going to have to live here.
Oh, wow.
And of course, it's changed then. I think, you know, there was other management happening at that time, if you know what I mean, organized management of the shipyard at that time. And not labor, the other part of it. Anyway, Jimmy Hoffa. Anyway, so so then I go out there and I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to, you know, be on my boat. And of course, the boat was in dry dock. It was just out of the water. And so we lived on a barge, But I couldn't believe it, you know, all of that. I'm thinking like, oh no, no, I'm lost. And the guy's going like, no, you're here. And it was just like, you know, I felt like I was in Welcome Back, Carter, you know, blue, 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 trains flying over my head on the tracks, rusty tracks that you're thinking, how could those trains not fall? Because it looks like it's riding on rust.
They survive and they are loud, very, very loud. But that whole area has changed now. You can come on back, man. It's all changed and they beautified it and it's really, really beautiful.
Well, that's where I've had my first hot wings, you know.
Really?
Yeah, it was actually, they were selling it out of some little corner half door shop in a paper bag. And I was going with my friend, my friend's name was Ortiz. And, we were gonna go down there and do something. He said, hold on, man. He walks over to this little small, you know, it all kind of looked the same at that point, but it was half door. And he walked up to it and they opened the top half and they just spoke, you know, a different language, and then all of a sudden they pass him out a little small sandwich bag full of hot wings. And I, of course, you know, I'm like, whoa, that's amazing, man. Wings in a bag, you know. But, oh yeah, I just love it. Yeah, I love that. It's just so different. You know what I'm saying? I love the culture and all the things that are happening. And, you know, it's so important to break any mindsets about, you know, God's creation, because he's a bouquet of experiences and languages and ethnicities and he loves us all. He created us all. And especially in America, it depends on where you are. You can really get one-sided in your viewpoint, you know, and you don't want to do that because it's just beauty in, you know, mankind, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's great diversity up here. And that's been one of the greatest, joys is being able to meet people from so many different backgrounds. And when you realize it, you know, we're all pretty much the same. And, it's been absolutely an awesome experience.
Well, you know, this morning, you're only with us for a short time this morning. I cannot stand it. You don't stay with us for the extra hour, but you know, I'm glad you're with us for the first hour.
I'm working on it. I'm glad to be here too.
Well, I want to ask all of our listeners, you know, if you would just continue to pray that God would use us and just arrange things to where we could just stand with you all the time that we need to, because we know things are happening in the earth, but you know, you need to. We just believe that VFN Radio and VFN TV is going to be a voice to encourage you, to empower you, and to remind you. I mean, you know, as God's people, we need reminding all the time.
Yes, we do.
It is because of the lies. You know, the enemy's going to, you know, God tells you truth, and there's like, you know, 20 lies about to hit you right after that. And sometimes you have to go back and go, oh. I mean, as a matter of fact, the Christian walk a lot of times like this. You know, it's like, yes, yes, yes. Oh, 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 oh. <You know? laughs> I mean, it's the truth. I mean, you read the Word of God, and over and over again, God's very patiently saying, well, do you remember when you were about to die and I delivered you from Pharaoh? Yes, sir, I do. He says, well, do you remember when you were dying of thirst and I brought you water? Oh, that's right. Yeah. I do remember that. Well, do you remember the time that you told me if I would do such and such that you would never do that again? Oh, yeah, I do. Do you remember all your mistakes and your failures? Yes. And do you remember the cross? Yes, I remember the cross. I remember what Jesus did for me. He died for my sins. Yes, son, that's right. Isn't that awesome?
Awesome.
You know,
awesome.
Being reminded. So this morning, you know, we want to have a talk. We always have a word of wisdom. You know, it is the, what day of the month is it? Oh, my goodness.
It's
the 14th. Oh, my goodness. All these digital calendars. Where's the old thing you can scratch off? You know what I'm saying?
I'm not pulling it off.
Yeah, I know it. Yeah, pull it. That's good. I have accomplished that day. Of course, as fast as days are coming, it would be like those movies. Remember those movies, those old movies, and they'd snatch off the next day, and that's how they showed time flying?
Right.
Today is just a digital calendar. Anyway, so it's the 14th of the month. We're looking at the 14th chapter of Proverbs. We always encourage you, wash yourself with wisdom, because there's nothing more obvious than knowledge without wisdom. And if you have a lot of knowledge and no wisdom, you don't really understand that, but everybody else probably does. So don't rest on knowledge alone. Get wisdom.
That's right.
And so today, you know, we've been talking about diligence and laziness and those different things like that. And I have to admit this morning when my alarm was going off, you know, at 3 o'clock in the morning. Okay. It wasn't 3. And, I'm sure it was 3 somewhere.
Is this confession time? What's happening?
Yeah,
here?
we'll talk about you in a minute. No, listen. And I thought, you know, that I think I'm just gonna, there's nothing better than the sleep that happens after a snooze.
Oh, yes.
It's like a compression chamber of just relaxation, isn't it?
Yes.
So I had 3 of those this morning. because Chris told me, he said, and we're gonna talk about that maybe if we get a chance. He said, you know, it's important to get your rest, because if you get rest, then your body rejuvenates and all that. And I said, well, that's a word from the Lord, and it's news. So I want to say to all those that are working out with me, I didn't work out this morning, but I will tomorrow morning. So Proverbs 14:23, it says, all hard work brings profit. All hard work brings profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. Think about it. All hard work. Think about it. All the hard work. You know, so often people say, you know, I'm working so hard and nothing's happening. And the Lord tells us, don't get weary in well-doing because you'll reap in due season. Don't be of those who shrink back, you know. And I want to encourage you this morning. Wisdom says, this is wisdom. And God is wisdom. I mean, Jesus is a name is wisdom. If you read about the vision of Rick Joyner in what's the one that's not Epic Battles of the Last Day, not The Call, but the
Final Quest,
and that, you know, and Jesus is talking to him as wisdom. He is the eagle. You know, that's where the eagle comes from in Morningstar Ministries. And wisdom says this. This is what God says. He says, all hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. I mean, just think about it. You know, and if in fact, you know, VFN TV and VFN radio was about, you know, talk, we just wouldn't do it. Our expectation is activity, right?
That's right.
We're excited about, you know, in this day that the church and its glory and the name of the Lord is going to be, you know, we're going to fill stadiums for God, the whole church at large, you know, and we're going to be a part of that because the end time move of God and the preparation for the return of our Lord is just imagine all these sports stadiums just filled with people worshiping God, others crying out to God, and just and it's just this roar coming off the earth, you know, and in that glory, in that awesomeness, you know, our Lord returns, and that, you know, it's just this, which is, and so understanding that you know, all hard work brings a profit, that we have to understand that quite often, I mean, if you've ever owned your business, I mean, if you've ever owned a business, you've been employed for yourself, this is like a no-brainer. But they, right. Don't they say, John, they say that but 3% of the world or 3% of America
works for the other 97% of the world works for 3% of America.
Right. So 97% don't have that kind of experience to understand. It's like, you know, I always joke about this. You know, I joke about it. As a matter of fact, I think I was roasted once by Pat because of this. But, you know, it's the truth. You know, it's the truth that, you know, when I was working for the Sheriff's Department, my lieutenant was Russ Sweeney. He was our shift lieutenant, and Howard Anderson was my partner. He was, you know, you don't have like partners in this particular department that I was working for, but you have you just partner up. You know, if you're going to do something, we're going to do drug interdiction, and drug interdiction is that you basically are proactive and you know, finding those who are doing drugs and dealing drugs and that type of thing, and so. My lieutenant said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to be proactive. I want you to go out there. We're having problems with all these drugs, you know, and crime in the community. And so I want you to go out and begin to patrol. And my partner, Howard, had a drug dog, and he was a thinner lab than Pat's lab. I didn't know labs could look like that. I'm sorry. His dog's big bone. With a big bone. No, I'm messing with. He's not. I'm just joking. Not.
I know she lost weight.
Did she really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
She lost 5 pounds.
Wow. Weight Watchers for outdoor dogs. And so we go out and we begin to patrol, you know, and God gives us favor is what it really is, you know, but we're just doing our job. We're just doing our job. Remember that? Doing our job. And it's like anybody that had drugs was just falling in front of us. It was amazing. You know, we're just like trying to go to places and there's like a pound, several pounds of a bale of marijuana in the back of a truck. There's, you know, cocaine at that time, you know, crack was coming out at that time. So crack was brand new, which is concentrated, cheaper cocaine. And so we had all these test kits and we'd go around and just drug dealer after drug dealer, you know, we're just arresting them and seizing property and all that. That's back when I thought you actually could change the world by arresting people. And the truth is that, you know, only 40% of crime is reported. The other 60% point their finger at the 40. And that really we're all sinners saved by grace and we all need God.
That's right.
So anyways, you know, and Russ was very good about just when we would do something, he would send it up to the sheriff and send a note and he'd hack out this note that looked like graffiti on a typewriter, mind you. It was like, they're not going to be able to read that. And he would, he'd send it up and we got recognized for it. And next thing you know, we made Officer of the Year.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's but think about that. I mean, the scripture says all hard work. That's almost a foreign concept to these days. You know what I'm saying? You have young people that they don't understand hard work. We've lost that in our generation. And it's so important that we read the scriptures. It's so important that we spend time abiding with the Lord to understand what is required of us. You know, these days, I'm concerned. I'm sure like many of our listeners are concerned that we need to speak in particular to our young people about the value of hard work. I love it in Colossians where it says, Colossians 3:23, that whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for men. And just gives us a fresh perspective on how we approach work. Because, you know, after a while, you know, I speak to many people often, and once that promise of promotion is over, once they know they're not going to get a raise, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I have lost my motivation to go to work every day. And it's like, oh my goodness. For the believer, our motivation really is everything. And we have an opportunity when we go to work to glorify God.
And that's exactly right. You know, he says, you know, and tells us in Ephesians chapter 6 that we're, you know, slaves, you know, submit to your master. So if we're actually getting paid for our work.
Hello.
You know, I mean, we have no excuse. And so we should just as unto the Lord. And even if their eyes don't see us, you know, and Russ was just very good about, you know, recognizing us. And he was just a good, I mean, he really was good at motivating us. And he really cared. I mean, we see him today. Matter of fact, Jared, you know, he's taller than both of us. And that's my son. And he's 6 foot groceries, you know, 6 foot something. And
is he taller than me?
As a matter of fact, you probably go to a VFNTV blog today and we'll actually put a picture up to see. They can measure, you know, how much taller Jared is of you. And we'll put a ruler or something in the background that you can kind of tell the difference. But I know, I don't know if you know this, you know, and so with that, you know, with that, I just want to encourage you that, you know, that you gotta, it doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen. And we're in this entitlement mindset, like you said, John, that it's just going to happen. It's not going to just happen. And eventually those who are actually working hard and they're getting profit because of their hard work, they're not going to buy into continuing to give away what their hard work is doing when there is a particular part of society that actually doesn't even think hard work has anything to do with profit.
Wow. You know, it's amazing that you say that. There was a book that was written several years ago called The Millionaire Next Door. And what they did was interview all these folks that were millionaires. I think their net worth or had to be about $1 million. And what these marketers were trying to do was to find out, what is the buying power of a millionaire? And they did all this research just to find out that the average millionaire in the United States was someone that just worked hard, spent less. They had, you know, American products. They weren't buying all these designer stuff. And so they were puzzled. They were thinking, you know, who in the world are buying these Mont Blanc pens, these $100 pens and these pinstripe suits and driving these fancy cars? And they found out it was just a younger generation that was trying to look like they were successful, but they weren't successful. And what they found out a lot of time, especially first generation Americans that come to this country, they appreciate hard work. They work so hard in their countries and they come here to the United States and they want to make an impact and they really want to seize the opportunity, you know, and America affords people a great opportunity to be successful amongst the other things. And what they found out is that their children, they kept promoting them to get an education, get an education, get an education, and they didn't pass on that hard work. And so oftentimes they found in the study that their children did far less well in society as compared to the parent who had no education, but all they did was work.
And so you think about it then, because we can forget that all of a sudden those who aren't diligent, who just talks, begin to resent those who work hard.
Yeah.
But they think they resent them because of the byproduct of working hard. They say because they have profit.
Mm.
And the thing about it is, but you got to always back up and find out, well, why do they have profit? And some people have profit because they did things wrong.
Right.
You know, and even they can work hard at doing things wrong. You know what I'm saying? And, but too, I mean, if they're at their store every day at 4 a.m. in the morning, getting ready to making you coffee and saying hello to you and greeting you and gassing your car up and, you know, and being faithful. And every time you go get gas or you're buying groceries and stuff, and she's in there saying, hello, how are you doing? I mean, she has the house she has because she was there to service you, you know?
Right, right.
Well, so I just want to encourage you, you know, the proverb this morning is 14:23, Proverbs 14:23, because it's the 14th of the month. All hard work brings a profit, but mere talk. And think about all the things that are happening on the streets of the Occupy Wall Street and all this, think about the politics. Oh my goodness. You know, hello, give me some substance. You know what I'm saying? Do something. You know, we talked about, well, we got to move on about that. You can find out more about that from yesterday or the day before when we're talking about, you have hearers, people who hear and then hear again. Then you have people who do and then they do again. And, you know, Paul said he considered all of his due dung, right?
That's right.
Because he did all that stuff. But then you have people that hear and then do, like James says. You know, those are the ones that are blessed in all that they do. So you have hear, do, and hear, do. You can find out more about that on a previous show in highlights area. But we'll be right back in just a moment. Well, you think about, you know, abiding. I mean, it's just, talk to us, Steve. Talk to us about, you know, somebody out there, they're thinking about, oh, it's just so hard. You know, what do I do? I mean, what would you say to them?
It's just really simple. It's not hard. You're just being with Jesus. You're talking with him. You're reading his word. And you're just listening.
Right.
You're talking to him. He's talking to you. And it really is that simple.
How rapidly did your growth in God happen once you started abiding with him?
It was amazing.
Isn't it?
God just started pouring out himself because he just says, you seek me, and I'm going to seek you.
He says, you draw near to me, mm-hmm. I will draw near to you. You can find out more about that at iabide.org. You know, everybody really wants to abide. They want to hang out with God like John 15, Jesus tells us, but they just need a little simple plan to do that. You can find out at iabide.org. Just request your plan today. I'm so excited to have Steve Kalaszewski with us on the LVFM radio today. I'm glad to have you here.
I'm glad to be here.
I mean, there's people out there right now that I know you're brilliant now. I mean, because you're so educated. I mean, you just graduated from University of West Florida. You've graduated from the Vine Fellowship Network University. I mean, you're about to go plant a church. You've already did church work in Florida, but you're going to go to Pittsburgh. I mean, you're just, you know, walking on water now. But imagine if you would.
God. Thank you, Jesus.
There's somebody out there listening right now via the radio that they slightly felt like, you know, I had a call, but immediately they looked at themselves and they looked at their work that's even come to pass. And, you know, they started doubting themselves. Talk to that person right now about how VFNU could help them out.
Wow. If you really feel that God's just really speaking to you or just speaking in your heart, VFNU is the resource that you need, because I totally relate to you, because when God found me, I had gone through the laundry list of everything that the world offered. And I knew that as soon as the message of Jesus Christ was shared to me, I knew that's exactly what I wanted. And God just began to just take me on a journey of just revealing himself to me. And no matter what he revealed to me, it just made me more hungry. It just gave me a greater desire. And when God began to speak to me about VFNU, I was like, I have no idea what that is, but I know I want it. And if it has anything to do with God, sign me up. And in that, it was just like, each day was overwhelming, because it was like, oh my goodness. I'm like, wow, like this is, but it was overwhelming in a good way. And, it's just so God, right. God gives you the tools. He gives you, just so many revelations, just so many levels of his word that are just, he's just so good. And, VFNU is just, I mean, I still have all my notes, everything. Oh, yeah. I look back on it. And even in that, it's encouraging when I look back on it. And it's like, I remember, I think I was talking about with you right after I graduated, and it was like looking back over an old photo album of all the revelations. It's just like, I remember this one. Oh yeah, I remember when God spoke to me in my abiding time about this. And it was just.
Isn't it amazing? So you can gather all the information that you want to, but there's nothing like the revelation. It's so empowering, and that's what VFNU is about.
Yeah,
you know, it was revealed from God.
Yeah,
you know, it's not like, you know, you might be thinking like, I got to go take my English class, I got to take my algebra class,
not information.
You know, it's just the revelation of God, and it's anointed. You know, and so you walk into it probably thinking, you know, well, I got to get this information so I can, you know, get to the point where I could minister, maybe shepherd God's people or whatever. And you walk in, the first thing you go is like, whoa, right? Right?
Yeah.
And then you finish that while, right? And then you go, the next thing you go, like, whoa, you know, it's just, he's so exactly. Awesome, isn't he?
No matter how much God you have, there's more.
There really is. And if you want to find out more, you want possibly interested in, feeling a call on your life, you want to know more about possibly getting into leadership, and maybe you want to be feel like you're called to be a pastor and you want to be trained, just come out to go to vfnu.org. That's vfnu.org, and you can find out more.
You know, I want to encourage you that, you know, obviously VFN Radio is available for anybody in the world, as our listeners around the world are listening now and throughout America. Also that the VFN TV is available for anybody and everybody, but there's actually more available for those who subscribe for free. You can actually subscribe to VFN TV at vfntv.com, or you actually can text to subscribe, John. You text VFN TV, that's a V as in Victor, VFN TV to 22828. That's text VFN TV to 22828. And you do that, and it'll just walk you through a little small little process, and you're registered, you're ready to go, and you can get back to teachings, this prophetic words, you know, some of the things that we're talking about now that's available for we want everybody to be able to get everything that the Lord is saying. But one of them is, you know, who are you calling good, which is very important, some of the teachings. Others as a prophetic words about what God's saying and teachings, because we've got to have perspectives. It's not just to know the news, it's what to do about the news that you know.
That's right.
So I want to encourage you, Dave, if you have not yet become a subscriber, it's free. It's free. So, you know, subscribe at vfntv.com and click on subscribe. Or you can text us to subscribe. Text VFNTV at 222-828. That's VFNTV 222-828. Yesterday, we had a chance to talk about two very important parts of the news.
Yes.
You know, one of them was our brother, Creflo Dollar, was arrested for being a godly father.
Yes. I heard that segment yesterday, and I was so greatly encouraged by that segment and you standing with not only Creflo Dollars, but with fathers really all across the country and the world. That was very significant.
Yeah, when you think about it, that you know, nobody feels more alone in leadership. Quite often, there's lonely times, you know. I can imagine what, you know, Moses must have felt like when, first of all, you know, he was first okay with doing it, and then as he ran for his life, you know, and went to the backside of the desert, he's like, hey, this is cool. I'm out here with Jethro, and we're like kicking back, and got some sheeps going on out here. You know what I'm saying? It was just kind of nice. And then once he was totally okay with where he was and humble, no longer wanting to puff himself up, I guess, or do whatever it was. I don't know. He was the most humble man on the face of the earth. And so, you know, God came for him and said, hey, you know, I need you to go talk to the biggest man on the face of the earth right now outside of me and tell him that he's a bad boy, you know, and you're going to have to, you're going to straighten him out. And Moses says, he was stuttering. Yeah.
I'm familiar with that.
Yeah, right. You know, and that's about when God, when you're wondering if God can use you, when you get to the point where you're thinking, this is an impossibility. There's no way. And it's like, oh, you were so ready. You were so ready.
That's right.
You remember the student that was going to Bible school, and we were passing in the hallway one day. We were in some place, and we were passing in the hallway, and he was sitting on the edge of an old rugged, not cross, but an old rugged pew. He was sitting on the edge of it, and he had his elbows on his knees, and he was looking down, and he just looked like totally just the stew beat out of him by second heaven. And he kind of looks up at us, and he says, when will this ever stop? You know, I was just happily, oh, it never stops. You just don't feel it anymore.
Oh, I do.
Is that not true?
Totally true.
Don't wait for it to stop. Wait for God to give you a grace to not respond to it. You know, dead people. I mean, go up there. If you're at a funeral and there's somebody in the casket, by the way, their body's there. They're to be absent for the body to be present of the Lord, and walk up to them and just go, hey, say, you know, that's not a nice shirt. I mean, just say something, and you'll find out that people who are dead don't say anything back. You just don't, you know, he says, unless you pick up your cross and deny yourself and follow me, you can have no part of me. I got to be honest with you. Pat's not dead yet. No, man, you know, I got parts of me need to die because I have a response. And so, but you know, I'm more dead. You know what I'm saying? I have more parts of me is dead than I've had before. But I just want to encourage you, if you have not yet, if you didn't get a chance to listen to yesterday's broadcast on VFN Radio, you know, we need to have God's perspective. We're standing up. Oh, let's stand up for America, and let's stand up for a political party. Let's stand up for conservative values. How about let's stand up for a father who's been fighting for the kingdom probably, you know, all of his spiritual life, who was a loving father that loved his daughter. According, you can listen to yesterday's broadcast, and it's actually on the 13th. You can find the in the archives. You can actually listen to it on your mobile device, your phone, or go to vfntv.com and listen to God's perspective about that. And that he got arrested for basically telling his daughter that she couldn't go to a party because her grades were down. And then she, you know, she is adamantly against it. And I've heard the 911 call, by the way. And it literally was just like, you know, it was just not right. You know, it was like, he won't let me. And this is, it was like, really? Really? And the thing about it is I can't get into that. You got to listen you can go to the VFNTV blog too, and you can find out, you know, more about it. You can actually watch a video about it, but we need to stand for fathers and mothers who stand for God's way of doing things. It's nothing feeling more lonely today in America than being a parent who says, I'm going to try to parent my children God's way. That's you know, right. It is a lonely place right now in America, but our desire, and that's what we're doing, is that we truly believe that the hearts of the fathers are turning to the children and the children to the fathers, that we're going to prophesy that and the hearts are going to turn, and we're going to encourage you and say, stay steadfast. It's not wrong. The world is wrong. But since we're in America, let's use this freedom to change the laws again. Let's come back and find candidates who actually have our value system, who believes that what God says about training. Anyway, you find out more about that. I don't want to use today's program up on that. And also, in regards, we're excited to find out that Benny and Suzanne Henn are coming back together again as a couple. And you kind of, you know, God's perspective of marriage, you know, you need to hear that. It's yesterday's broadcast on the 13th of the month. That's, that would be what, June 13th, right? June 13th. And you can find that in your archives and listen to that, or even in the highlights.
I want to encourage our listeners too, that when you do listen to it, encourage others to listen to it as well. There's a lot of news out there, and people are talking, and they're missing this fresh perspective. And if it was you on the other side, you want someone encouraging you. I know I would, you know. And so do your best to not only listen, but also get on Facebook, you know, tweet it out to your friends and encourage them listening to the segment, because it's really, really encouraging. It's going to give you a wonderful perspective on really God's truth behind all of this.
Yeah. And you think about that, you know, this is what a lot of our listeners are doing, is they're actually taking that actual highlight or that broadcast, and they take the link from it and they go into their Facebook. You know, we have a large Facebook. You have Facebook and all this, you know, they say 6 degrees, right? 6 degrees of separation. And paste the link. And when you paste the link, it actually goes to all your friends. And they can click right on the link and begin to listen. I mean, right now across the social network, you need to have, you know, all of us as believers need to have a viewpoint, God's viewpoint of our brother Creflo Dollar, and we need to tell everybody in the conversations that we have on a daily basis, go, no, that's not right, what you're mm-hmm. saying about him. He loves his daughters, and that's what he said. It was just beautiful, you know, and we need to have God's perspective of that.
Not only that, but we need God's perspective on disciplining children. I mean, I was, you know, there were things trending out there saying that, you know, you don't discipline, you don't spank, you don't. Well, wait a minute. What does God's word say about all of this? You know, and so it's nothing like bringing the word of God into a situation to help bring alignment.
You definitely want to hear that, Brock. It reminded me. You will be very encouraged, and you'll have a peripheral understanding of America. And you'll be And I also want to incorporate, you know, go to the VFNTV blog and listen to that simple cartoon from years back about how a bill becomes a law. Because you as American citizen can actually create new laws. You can untie people's hands and have them stand with you as parents as we stand together to raise godly offspring, you know, instead of them fighting against us there. But, you know, original intent. We always like to talk about original intent. I want to talk to you about that before, you know, you head off for the extra hour, John. And so, you know, I want to talk about the original intent of, you know, America. We talk about the original intent of the church and the original intent of America, intent. And, you know, the Bill of Rights, and somebody says, you don't even hear that anymore, really, you know, talked about. But what the Bill of Rights are, it actually is the first 10 amendments to the U.S. Constitution. You know, and it's pretty, every day your life in America, it happens in the context of boundaries. There's things that are set up. There's decisions being made from the top to the bottom in our country for government now that is governed by the U.S. Constitution, because Constitution means that's what you're made of. You know, that's what you're made of. And so when somebody starts talking about changing the Constitution, they're talking about changing what America is made of, what it consists of, what holds it together. And we don't want to do that. You know, we already talked about the First Amendment and that's very, very important. But now, you know, I also want to talk about, you know, Fourth Amendment. And the Fourth Amendment, you know, is, I want to just go to the Fifth Amendment today, you know, because we're talking about law enforcement. In the Fourth Amendment, you know, it talks about, let me read it to you. This Fourth Amendment. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on the presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in the case arising in a land of naval forces or in a militia. That's not the one I want to talk about. Give me one moment. Let me roll this back up here because I want to talk about. Here it is. It's Fourth Amendment. The search and seizure. I was like, man, that doesn't sound like the Fourth Amendment when I was reading it. Let me read the Fourth Amendment to you. Somebody says, you know, that the Fourth Amendment says you can't do this and you can't do that. Let me read it to you. The right of a person the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against all unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly described the place to be searched and the person or things to be seized. This is so important. Mm-hmm. This is why somebody can't walk up to you on the streets and just start you know, checking your pockets out and pulling your ID out of your back pocket. But today with technology, like in New York, you remember what they were doing? They actually had a camera that was searching people.
They'll scan it.
They're scanning people and it scanned you basically, you know, if you had any metal or whatever on your, it basically was an X-ray. It just showed your body and anything on your body and your clothes were there, I believe.
It could have been anything.
Yeah, it could have been anything. And so they were violating they took it to court and they said, you know, this is a violation of the Fourth Amendment rights. Mm-hmm. You know, think how important that is, because without the Constitution that people are talking about wanting to change, then these devices would be all over the place.
Yeah.
But the Fourth Amendment that many people, maybe your own family member, maybe you even considered it, you know, maybe people around you are considering it. Understand it was the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution that challenged that mindset of being able to search, you know, somebody without their consent. And you got to have probable cause. You know, I talked to you during, parenting about battery, you know, what the definition of battery is, and it's just touching somebody without their permission. But probable cause is very, very important. You know, we had to learn this when we were going through the police academy and all, when I was training for law enforcement, that probable cause is evidence that leads you to believe that a crime has been committed or was about to be committed. So there has to be tangible evidence that you can't just say, you know, that person looks like a criminal, you know, which has been happening. And that's why you see people, they're prejudging people. They're profiling people. And that's a violation of, if they're American, it's a violation of their Fourth Amendment rights, that you can't just do that. You got to have probable cause to believe that a crime has or is about to be committed. So what's happening right now is that, and so what we would do in law enforcement, we would actually write out, have the person write out a warrant, and they would describe to a T the probable cause why they believe that they were violated if we weren't present when that thing actually happened. And then we would take it before a judge, and the judge would read it, and that person would swear before us. They would raise their hand. They swear before us as an officer, and then they would sign it, and that fulfilled the Fourth Amendment right. And now the judge would review it, and if he believed that there was probable cause to make an arrest, which means an arrest means this, bring everybody to the court so I can hear the evidence, and then we'll find out if a crime's been committed. Arrest does not mean you're guilty. And the church has to get that, because there might be a lot of us. You know, don't be jumping on the prognosticating bandwagon. And so then he reviews it, he or she reviews it, and if there's probable cause there, they'll sign that warrant. They'll make it a warrant, it's a warrant affidavit, which means requesting a warrant, and it becomes a warrant arrest warrant. And then they go out and they serve that warrant and they bring the person in. See, that whole process is the Fourth Amendment. You can't just go out, I got a good friend, go do this. You can't do that kind of stuff. But with all this new technology, you know, we're giving up so many Fourth Amendment rights. You know, we're being searched day in and day out, you know, and we're going to be talking in the second hour about how things are being set up for the end times and tracking. The key to Satan has to track you. You know, Satan has to, he does not have the gifts, he doesn't have the abilities God has. So he has to literally have an administration of how he's going to administer things.
Right.
And with technology, it's increasing to where he can. And we're going to talk about, you know, setting up the end times for tracking and how, you know, Google mapping is setting up to the point now where they want to continue to go three dimensional. And even in the buildings that you actually in, that they want to know where you are in that building at that particular time. Facial recognition, which is the big developer that's out of Israel, and Facebook's had it for quite some time. We're going to talk about that and how that works. And when all these things come together, and we're going to talk about Johnny Foote's prophetic word about the beast economy and all the things, John, that you and I, God's been showing us about what's going to happen in the economy, that it's like, hello, you know, it's happening. But, and so the thing that sets us apart is, you know, is God, you know, because the Constitution acknowledges God and our rights come from God, you know, but also in that Constitution, it's the Fourth Amendment.
Right. And don't you think too, it's the trust, the trust in God. You know, because you see so many people, especially, you know, after 9/11 and terrorists, especially here in New York, they're willing to give up so much of their rights because of fear, you know, and it's like, oh my goodness, how are we going to give up all of these rights? Because we can't, you know, we have to trust God. We can't trust in systems. We can't trust in searches. And if we're not trusting the Lord, we're going to give up all these rights. This is, you know,
that's exactly what happens, that, you know, fear produces, you know, self-preservation.
Right.
You know, and it's like, it's just, you know, I say this often, but it's really amazing to me that people try to live so, they put so much energy in trying to live and they never do. It's like, you fought that hard to live and that's what you're doing with it? Is that, I'm serious, you know, I'm just, you know, and it could just be me, I don't know, but I'm like, you know, ballroom dancing. Yeah, it's just weird. It's like, really, I just don't understand. It's like, you know, one man said, he says, you know, until you're ready to die for something, you're not ready to live for anything. And as believers, we were supposed to have already died with Christ, and our hope is not in this life but in the life to come. We should not be signing over our rights, you know, to governments and all. I mean, willingly doing it. I mean, the kingdom is going to ride no matter what. It doesn't matter what kind of form of government happens, you know. I mean, the church is all over the world, and it's not only America's form of government where the church is at, and the church is thriving in some other places where it seems to be sleeping under democracy. So I just want to say that it doesn't determine where the church goes, but we should not. This is what I feel. This is what I feel. You know, and I was talking to you about this, John,
right,
that we're going to have to answer for this freedom. Pat, we're going to have to answer for this freedom, man.
That's right.
I don't know how much freedom we have left. I hope we have a whole bunch left.
Much is given, much is required. To whom much is given, much is required, you know?
All the nations that have ever existed since the beginning of time, there's probably never been as much freedom for its citizens as it's been for America. And so the American church, you know, us as believers, if we don't set aside God's commands and take on men's traditions, which is a whole other thing coming on VFN TV soon, then we could take the world for God. You know, we could be, you know, every one of us could be going out into the harvest field and sharing the good news and bringing God glory across the land. And what do we use the freedom for? What did we use? What did you use your freedom for?
But look, it's even being our children are being robbed of freedom. Look what's happening in New York. We've talked about this before with the school system and the principal.
Right.
I mean, that it's been robbed.
Right. Right. They actually, and we put that on the VFN TV blog today, that they told the kindergartners, the ones at the kindergarten, said, listen, you cannot sing Lee Greenwood's song, God Bless America, because it's too controversial. And you think, this is the thing about it. The freedom that we have, John, Pat, the freedom that we have, that we can stand up as an American now, as an American, as a citizen, and we can say, well, we don't agree with that. That's not wrong to say that. Mm-hmm. We just don't sit back and allow our rights to be taken from us, you know, and even if eventually they are taken from us, we want to be fighting for those rights on the side of it just being taken away. We just don't want to just kind of go to sleep and just allow it all to happen.
All right.
You know, and, you know, with that we have this freedom, and this is the freedom you have. You, as a believer, you have the freedom to follow Jesus Christ. You have the freedom to witness to your neighborhood. You have the freedom to speak boldly the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have the freedom to get on things like social communities and just talk all you want to about the things of God and all that. But there's other nations that don't have that, and they will actually arrest you like Iran right now. And we have the pastor that's in lots of people that are in jail in Iran because they will not agree with the doctrine. They said you have to deny, you know, Jesus Christ as the Son of God for them to let them out of jail.
Right. You can gather publicly.
Yes. And, you know, the thing about it, too, is that you know, we've totally forgot that our enemy is spiritual, that it's, you know, you wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness and evil spirits and principalities and all this realm you can't see. And a lot of times we think it's people, and people are being used, but it's that second heaven, we call it. Satan's behind that, which means they don't have to even be in agreement. They don't even have to be in the same religion. They don't have to even be friends, but they can be all moving harmoniously to do away with Israel and do away with the church, with Christians. And you have to pay attention because you're thinking that people have to get together to strategize to take you out. They don't have to do that because Satan's been strategizing for a long time. And you can look at history alone, which we did in our last VFN gathering where we all came together, you know, for God's seeking God's perspective of Israel. And, you know, one day, you know, Israel's, you know, just like America, they're walking around, living in nice places. They're, you know, running businesses and all that. And the next day, John, the next day, you know, God's people are walking down the street in a parade of people just marching in their nice attire, but they're throwing manure at them and they're cussing at them. And they're, you know, you and I went to the Holocaust Museum in New York and Patton, you and I went in Israel, didn't we? We were there.
In DC as well.
Yeah. In DC. And that it's just, you got to remember this is what happens. You know, if you're a Christian, I got news for you. Satan don't like you, you know, and if he's acting like he's your friend, it's only to do you in. And Israel is your friend, and we are Israel's friend. And that we got to stick together. We, you know, we serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We love him. And with that, that if we give this freedom up, if we just sit back, and they were surprised, you know, the Jews were surprised that how could this be happening, you know, and they kept on believing the press up until the last moment. And Satan will just lie to you to the very last second, you know, and he has no problem. That's the biggest thing about, you know, it's amazing, isn't it? It's like, you think, well, my goodness, you're, you know, really? And it's like, nope, I don't have no problem lying at all. And it's like, not only is he a liar, but he's the father of lies. Wow. And so, you know, that don't believe the press, you know, that the adversary would say, and realize that we have freedom right now. We can either go to sleep and end up walking down the street. And I'm not saying that we're going to end up in some camp somewhere, but I will say you, it can happen. Martial law can happen. You know, we were in the hurricanes in the Gulf area, and they locked everybody down, didn't they?
It's amazing what happens when the National Guard says, you better go home because it's a curfew.
There was
it's a gun.
Yeah, and there was one gas station open in the whole region, and we were like booking it trying to get some gas. And it was surrounded by military saying, go away.
Yeah.
You know, and so, and then we realized we were out past curfew.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, you know, you got to know that martial law means that, you know, as we talked about, that the Constitution gets put on standby, and all these constitutional rights just stop during martial law. And it's just like a place under siege. So I want to encourage you, you know, under original intent, we're talking about American Day, the Constitution. Know the Bill of Rights, you know what the Fourth Amendment says. You know, it's not wrong for you to say, you know, I would like to have an attorney. You know, if you're going to build a house, you know, you don't just find somebody off the street and say, hey, can you build me a house? And you don't, if you've never built before, you know, people do try this, but eventually after you make a mess, you do bring somebody in, you know. But you actually go hire a carpenter.
Right.
Because the carpenter knows how to build. You know, and if you have a situation with your constitutional rights, you know, you need to be able to hire an attorney, you know. And like I said, that when they arrest you, they'll read you your rights. They'll tell you you have the right to an attorney. If you can't afford one, one will be appointed to represent you before questioning if you wish. Well, it's not, you don't look guilty when you actually say, yes, I would like to have an attorney. You look wise, you know, because you don't understand the law. You need somebody to help you walk through that whole process. And so, you know, John Stenberger, we had a great chance to meet John Stenberger and be with him. He's an awesome attorney out of Orlando. And, you know, and he's connected with a lot of different attorneys that stand up for constitutional rights and I believe focus on the family as well. And UCLJ, right?
I forget the name of it.
Yeah, but you can find it John Stenberger's site, and we'll have more about that on the VFN TV blog. Can you believe that we're coming to an end of our first hour already, John?
Wow. It moves fast.
It totally moves fast, man. Well, I want to say all of our listeners out there that we had a wonderful time on our first hour. We're going to be going into the extra hour talking about, you know, setting up the end times, how things are happening, and Google tracking and Facebook and a prophetic word that was given by our friend Johnny Foote about how it's all coming to pass right now, and some things that John and I talked about that you can find in some of the prophetic highlights that are out there on the VFN TV applications, which you can download by going to the your local mobile app store or go to your browser to vfntv.com and follow the steps right there. John, it was great to have you.
It was great to be here.
I'll see you in the second hour. We're so excited to come to the end of our first hour of VFN Radio. We'll be joining us for the extra hour in just one moment, talking about end times, how things are being set up for the end times. Can you believe it? Things are happening as we speak, which means our Lord is returning soon. We'll see you in the second hour.